Next Sunday is going to be potent. And I mean in the spirit. If your cat dies at midnight on Saturday night, we'll have the funeral on Monday. You just come on and show up for the meeting, okay? God forbid the cat dies. I'm just telling you, the devil will do his best to keep you out of church next Sunday in particular, because it's going to be good. It's going to impact your spirit in a way that I can't describe. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I've never met this. Well, I haven't met him, but I've never heard him speak. But I know he's got a lot in him, and it's going to be a great, great service. Do not miss next Sunday. It's going to be powerful. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. We thank you for opening our eyes, Holy Spirit, right now. Be our teacher. Speak to us in the places that we need you most, Lord. We're looking to you to guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm calling this message, Receiving from Others. Receiving from Others. We're going to begin in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. I don't mean receiving money. I'm talking about receiving, I should call it, receiving others in the Lord. That would be a better title, receiving others in the Lord. Because, you know, there's times that people step into your path, into your life, and you have a choice whether you're going to receive from them or whether you're going to kind of put up a wall defense that says, I don't know if I trust them. All right? This is what Paul has to say about that subject, or the Holy Ghost through Paul, in 2 Corinthians 5:16. You there?
Yes.
All right. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. I wanted to read it in the King James because it says after the flesh. In the New International Version, it says, from now on we don't regard anyone from a worldly point of view. Although we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Listen, in the kingdom, we're called to not look at each other in the natural. Right? This is Colton Dutton. He's my son-in-law. But he's more than Colton Dutton, my son-in-law. He's a man of God in the kingdom. He is a born-again, spirit-filled, yes, Holy Ghost man in the Lord. We haven't seen the half of what his true identity is in the Lord yet. And that's how each of us are in here. We haven't seen the half of what you can be or do or become in Jesus. Because when you got born again, you became somebody entirely new. And Paul says here, even Jesus, when he walked the earth, we used to look at him as if he was just a human. We didn't see the treasure within. And he says, we don't do that any longer. And in the King James, it words it that way. It says, we know no man after the flesh. Amen? I taught a little bit on this Wednesday night, so those of you that were with us, you're going to get a double dose. All right? So we're going to just reiterate, rebuild on what we shared Wednesday. What happens when we know people after the flesh? When we're too hung up on the outward or the person in the spirit, what happens is you are hindered from receiving. He keeps you from receiving from that individual. You know, Paul, the apostle, it said historically, this isn't in the Bible, okay, but this is what historians tell us, is that Paul was a very diminutive man in his physical stature, maybe even as short as 4.5 feet tall. Now, that's short. That's three cubits, 54 inches, 4.5 feet tall. That's a short guy, right? But yet he was big in the spirit. If you saw Paul come into your midst, you wouldn't see something outwardly that may have impressed you, but inwardly you would feel something in your heart because there was a power that resonated in this great man. In fact, you know, it may be really true that in actuality he was short, and some people say he was bald and had red hair. So, you know, he had those marks going for him as well. Look over, hold your finger there in 2 Corinthians 5, turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. You know, a lot of the verses throughout the Corinthian books, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Paul spent defending his ministry. Defending his ministry. Why? Because after he had raised up the church at Corinth and he left, these other people came in and they tried to tear him down. They said, oh, he's nothing. He's just a windbag. You know, he's all talk, no do. And look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that are... Oh, that's not it. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 10. That's a good verse too, but it's 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10, 1. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. In other words, he said, when I was with you, I was meek, I was gentle, but it was because I was in Christ. It's not because I'm a wimp. Are you with me? He says, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am quote unquote timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. this was the reputation that he had been tagged with by these naysayers. They said, oh, he's just real, he's shy, he's timid, there's nothing to him. And he's all talk when he's far away. And Paul said, no, I want you to know that when I was with you, I was meek in Christ. In other words, I held back in Jesus. It doesn't mean there wasn't power in me. Are you with me? That's what Paul said here. Now, you're in 2 Corinthians, right? Go back to 4 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen? Let me tell you something. The treasure is within you. If we get hung up on the earthen vessel, you have missed it. That's what Paul's talking about here when he says, know no man after the flesh. You know, next week we're having a guest speaker come in. You may not like guest speakers with a Texas accent. I can tell you Terry Myers has a Texas accent. You got to get over it. You got to get over the earthen vessel if you're going to receive what Paul describes here, the treasure within. Amen? We are earthen vessels. Let's read it again. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen? The treasure is Jesus within us. Isn't that reassuring to you? You don't have to be Mr. or Mrs. GQ, have everything together outwardly, be perfect, you know, in every way, in presentation, all your T's crossed and your I's dotted perfectly. No, it's about the treasure within. Amen? That's what we bring to the table. Now, turn over to, let's see, you're in Corinthians. Let's go to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, several books to the left. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 1. In verse 11, these words were spoken about Jesus. This is John the Apostle talking. He says, he came unto his own. John chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus came unto his own. Who's that? The Jews, the Jewish people. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Imagine what the Jews missed out on, that you and I have been enjoying for 2,000 years. The Bible calls this the church age or the age of the Gentiles. For 2,000 years, we have been enjoying verse 12. Because we have received Jesus, amen? We have been given the power to become what? Sons of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's awesome. The Jews looked at him as one of them, just another Jewish man, a carpenter. Turn over to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Two books to the left. Mark 6. Let's read the first six verses there. Mark chapter 6. And verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? That's good King James speak, isn't it? And what wisdom is this which was given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were what? Offended at him. Verse 3 says they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and went around about the villages teaching. There's a little antidote. Whenever you hit a wall of unbelief, what do? You teach. You teach. Just a little side note. Let's go back to verse 3. Look at what the people did. They said, this guy is the carpenter. You know, for 30 years, Jesus had been quietly building stuff. Whether it was chairs, tables, ironworks. Some people speculate that he was actually more of an ironworker than he was a hammer wood type carpenter. But he was a builder. And he had been tagged or dubbed because he was known in the flesh. In other words, they had watched him for 30 years grow up in their midst as the quiet carpenter. Now all of a sudden this carpenter's doing miracles. And they're offended because why? They had him pegged one way and now he's proven him something different. I had someone approach us a couple years ago and they said, you know, this person had watched us in ministry years ago as music people. Terry and I always led worship in churches. That's what we did. 9 years ago, the Lord called us to pastor. We started this church. And a couple years into it, this person came to us and they said, you know, I would have never, someone told me you were pastoring, I said, pastoring? No, they do music. That's what they do. They do worship leading. See, they had us pegged. They had us, you know, this is a square peg. It goes into a square hole. And they could not picture that God would use us in this capacity. Why? Because they're looking at us in the flesh. Even though we'd been exercising the worship leading gift in the church, that's all they could see. They had kind of honed in on something they got used to. How many of you know, let's don't be something people can get used to. Right. Amen. Jesus said, wherever the wind blows, that's what it's like to be led by the Spirit. Amen. You know, you may reach age 75, 80, 80. You know, Moses started his ministry around age 80, 85, somewhere around there. Moses, he kicked into a whole different gear. Amen. So some of y'all better get ready. Be excited. We may see a whole side of you we've never seen for all these years. We're not going to peg you. We're not going to be like the people in Jesus' town and said, he's just the carpenter. They said, here's his brothers, his sisters. They named the brothers there. They said, Mary, we know Mary, we know Joseph. What is that? That's guilt by association. Whatever bad traits, because you see, after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary had natural children, right? And those children were not so saintly. They were just kids, as all kids are. And so they associated Jesus with the natural side of his family. I want to tell you something. Humanity justifies offense. If you're human, someone's going to be offended at you somewhere, somehow, no matter how good you are. There's going to be somebody, somewhere, somehow, that you are not good enough for them. And that's just called humanity. But Jesus was more than human. Amen? And you are too. Paul says, we're not just mere men. We have a treasure within us. Amen? You have a treasure within you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? You have a new identity in him that is altogether different than anything anybody associated with you from your childhood years. Look at verse 4, the principle. In verse 4, Jesus said, a prophet's not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. You know, we usually tend to think of in sports that there's what's known as a hometown advantage, right? Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah? Well, in this case, hometown is a disadvantage, okay? And I'll tell you that. Sometimes you'll come around your relatives that you haven't seen in years, and you feel a little awkward, and they're a little off-put by you if they don't know Jesus. They're not so thrilled about this new walk that you're walking. Why is that? Because it's the treasure within you that's different. It's distinguishing. You were once that just an earthen vessel with nothing in you. Now you got Jesus in you. You're different. Amen? We hope you're different. You're different, right?
Yes.
Just checking. All right. Well, Jesus was different. Notice in verse 5, it says that he could do there no mighty work. I want to tell you something. Your hands are tied. When you start scrutinizing the vessel, you tie the hands of that person to be a blessing to you. And that's what happened in this case. They tied Jesus' hands literally where he could do no mighty work among them. Why? Because they were looking only at his humanity. Only at who he was, who they thought he was, associated with this family, this earthly family over here. They did not recognize his deity. When we do that, we stop the mighty works of God. You know, there was a great Bible teacher, Rick Renner, actually interpreting this verse 5, where it says he could only lay his hands on a few sick folk. He actually interprets that somehow in the Greek language. It actually refers to people who were in a coma. Imagine that. You're a healer. You come to town. You come to your hometown. And you think everybody's going to welcome you, receive you. They're going to bring you all the sick to be prayed for. You've got this great gift and this ability to raise people up and heal them. And the only people that can receive from you are the people in a coma. Why? Because everybody else is looking at you for who you are in the natural. That's something, isn't it? And that's what this verse is saying here, that there are only a few sick people that could receive from Jesus, and he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled because of their unbelief. Well, it's interesting. This story is told in the Gospel of Mark. Let me tell you a little bit about the guy Mark. Mark was a man who had to overcome a reputation as well. See, Jesus in this story had to overcome his humanity in the eyes of these people. Mark, who wrote this story, has some history too. If you look in Acts chapter 15, we're going to read about Mark real quick, where Mark went with his reputation and how it challenged him. Acts chapter 15, verse 35. Acts chapter 15, verse 35. Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called who?
Mark.
That's the guy that wrote the book of Mark. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, and Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. This first church split right here. Two brothers that had been working together, had done a great missionary journey. They said, "Let's go make another circuit." And they start fighting over Mark because Mark had what? He had deserted him. Now, you know, Mark's young. When you get out on the mission field, how many of you have been on a mission trip before outside the U.S.? Anybody? Yeah, I tell you what, it's challenging. And you get out there and you're fighting, you know, all these kind of stomach issues and bugs and non-air conditioned environments. It will challenge your flesh. And Mark's young. He gets out there on the road with Paul and Barnabas. They're a little older, a little crustier. They're more, you know, prepared for this. And he, at some point, decides, "I want to go back home to mama or somebody." Okay. So he leaves the trip and Paul says, "I'm not taking him again." And Barnabas, whether it's his cousin or his uncle, it's not real clear from scripture, but in one translation, it refers to him as his uncle. Uncle Barney says, "I want to take him with us." And Paul says, "Nope, we're not taking him." Mark had garnered a reputation as a deserter. Imagine what it must have been like to be blackballed by the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine? Not only did Paul not want to take him, but from then on, I'm sure Paul, anytime he talked to someone else who was a believer or someone in the leadership capacity, and they brought up Mark, he said, "Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about little Mark. About what he did for, you know, back when we were in Pamphylia." Mark had gotten a reputation that hurt him. But I want to tell you something. In the kingdom of God, people can change.
Amen.
People can change. Your reputation can change. I did some dumb things in my early years in the ministry. Not terribly dumb. I mean, not terrible things, but just dumb. Just because of my youth, my immaturity. And I'm sure back, you know, way back on the trail, some decades back, I've got some reputation in some people's minds as being this or that. They shape you. They tend to peg you according to what you do at any stage in your life. But how many of you know we grow up? Praise the Lord, we grow up. We get a little more maturity. But Mark had a black mark against him, pun intended. And people can change. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to see the result of the change that came about in Mark's life. Look at 1 Peter 5, 13. Now remember this. Peter is the only guy that ever did what? Walked on water. Hello. Yeah. Peter was one of the inner three in the inner circle of Jesus. He was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Jesus literally turn like an angel, just, you know, blazing white. The Bible says more than you could bleach his clothes. His face shone like the sun. Listen, there was only three guys that got to see Jesus like that. Peter, James, and John. There we go. And Peter's one of these guys. Peter is the leader of the church. But Peter deserted Jesus. Do you remember? Yes. Peter had some reputation to overcome too. But look what Peter says here. Now remember, when Peter gets up in years and he writes this book, 1 Peter 5, he is respected. This guy is so, people look at him as being so walking on the clouds that they lay the sick in the street just hoping his shadow passed by. And because of their faith, the Bible says those people were healed. That's the man we're talking about here, Peter. And look what Peter says about little Mark. 1 Peter 5:13. "She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you." How many of you know there's believers everywhere? Find me the darkest place on earth, there's somebody in there somewhere that's a Christian. And even in Babylon, there's Christians. He said, "She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends her greetings, and so does," look at how he words it, "my son Mark." Wow. What an honor to be called the spiritual son of St. Peter. How's that for a connection? Disregarded by Paul. Discounted by the Apostle Paul. High-ranking man to be discounted by. But years later, old Peter says, "Mark's my son. I got some belief in him. I put my hope in Mark. He's got a bright future. Look at what Paul said later, because how many of you know sometimes when we get a little cocky and we think we know people and we peg people, we might eat a little crow along the way. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Look what Paul said about Mark later. Colossians 4, verse 10. If you didn't know it, if you're taking notes this morning, write down this passage. We're not going to turn to it. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. When Paul first got saved and he came to Jerusalem, they were terrified of him. He had just come from Syria to Jerusalem. And he had gone to Syria on his way to capture Christians and throw them in prison and kill them if he could. And that's when, you know the story. He got knocked off his donkey, saw Jesus, got saved, got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he comes back to Jerusalem. And in Acts 9, 26, we're not going to turn to it, but just mark it. It says that he wanted to come to Jerusalem and come and meet the brethren, but they were terrified of him. But Barnabas brought him to them. Barnabas believed in Paul when no one else did. That's the same Uncle Barney that split ways with him later over Mark. So Paul should have known better rather than to discount Mark. But he gets his share of humble pie too. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, and so does Mark, the cousin or sister son of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, what? Receive him or welcome him. Sometime later, after Paul had discounted Mark and his ability as a minister of the gospel, now he's writing to the Colossian church and he says, oh yeah, I want to make a note. And this is an important footnote. If he comes to you, receive him. Hey, that's huge. That's an endorsement. That's like Nike unendorsing somebody and then re-endorsing somebody, okay? He's putting his stamp of approval. He says, when Mark shows up, treat him well. Receive him as you would receive me. That's huge. Now, he didn't go as far as saying, I apologize. That's not written in Scripture. I apologize for what I did to Mark. But we see it here in the Word, don't you? He's had a change of heart. Mark, the punk deserter, the uncle's boy, went on to do great things in the Lord. Namely, write the Gospel of Mark. We have that book in the Bible because Mark believed enough in himself to shake the dust off and say, hey, I do have something in me. There's a treasure in this earthen vessel. I may have ticked off Paul a while back, but I got something in me and I'm gonna rise again. By the way, Mark is not one of the 12, in case you didn't know that. We tend to think Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Mark was one of the 12 apostles. He wasn't. He was just Mark, a great man of God who overcame his past failures and rose to do something great. He actually, history tells us, he became the founder and pastor of the church in Alexandria, Egypt, northern Egypt. Later, he was martyred for Jesus when he stood among a crowd of pagan worshipers and they were having a big holiday and he was preaching the gospel in their midst. And they strung him up, not the Bible, but history tells us they strung him up by his neck and dragged him through the city till he died. So that's how Mark gave his life for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Luke's not one of the 12 either, in case you were wondering. He's Dr. Luke. He's just another great man of God. There's awesome men of God that wrote our Bibles. They didn't have to be one of the 12 to be awesome. You don't either. Did you know that? No one may ever know your name. Very few people know April's dad, but I tell you, he's something in the kingdom. He's a rock. People can change. Can you say amen? Season 2, episode 2 of The Chosen, around about 34 minutes and 31 seconds into it. Excuse me, 32 minutes and 34 seconds into it. Matthew's quoted as saying, people out there want to define us by our pasts, but we do things differently because of him. Amen? Do you do things differently now than you did years ago? Remember this, the people that knew you then, that were running with you then, might not be on your Facebook now, they remember you, they've locked you in, they've pegged you according to the way you were then. But you've changed, haven't you? You're different. Aren't you glad you changed? Praise the Lord. And we can be like Mark. We can go from having a reputation of being no good, useless, to being quite useful in the kingdom. Praise the Lord. You know, Philemon is an interesting book. Do you know the book of Philemon? It's a little bitty book right in front of the book of Hebrews. I want us to read a few verses there. Because Paul, again, he should have known better than to discount Mark. Years later, he wrote this book. I think he had learned his lesson. And Philemon, he writes, Philemon is a friend of his in the Lord, and Philemon had a slave named Onesimus who deserted his master. And we don't have time to read the whole book, but we're going to read a few verses here. Look at Philemon. It's right before the book of Hebrews in your Bible. Chapter 1, verse 8. Although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, he's talking to Philemon, I appeal to you on the basis of love. I, Paul, as an old man now, and also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. There again, there's that mark of acceptance, endorsement. Amen. He calls Onesimus his son in the faith, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless. Say useless. He was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. How many of you know people can change? Amen. And Onesimus had been, whether he'd been a lazy slave or just a not so good slave, an average slave, at some point he decided, I'm taking off. And he runs away from Philemon, and Paul meets up with him. Somehow, maybe he got in prison, you know, for a misdemeanor or something. And he meets Paul in prison, and he gets saved. And he becomes useful. Amen. I love that transformation. He was formerly useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. Look at verse 12. I'm sending him to you, who is my very heart. I would have liked to keep him with me so he could take your place and help me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better. Say better. Better. Aren't you glad we can grow better in Jesus? Better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him or receive him, the King James says, as you would receive or welcome me. Praise the Lord. We can go from being useless to useful. Jesus said in Matthew 10:40, he said, he that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. You know, in the coming years, as we worship together, as we journey this journey of faith together, something that's going to happen is we're going to get to know each other better. We're going to get to know who we are in the Lord, but we're also going to get to know human flaws, quirks. How many of you in here don't have any quirks? We all got them. It's funny, isn't it? You go home after church and you talk and you say, you know, so-and-so's kind of different, aren't they? Yeah, they're really different. They're kind of odd, aren't they? Yeah, they're kind of. You know, we're all odd. Let me tell you something. We're all just different. That's what a quirk is. It's a distinguishing mark. Amen. It's like a thumbprint. We're all a little bit odd. But what's going to happen in the coming years is you're going to get to know us. We're going to get to know you. But the danger that can come into place is that we begin to get so familiar that we look past the treasure within and we start to look at the earthen vessel. Don't get hung up on the earthen vessel. Don't limit your ability to receive the treasure from within another brother or sister in Christ. Amen? Because people can change. Can you say amen? They can improve. They can get better. Look at, you're in Philemon, right? Just flip over one book to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11:31. I could go on all day about this. It's just such an interesting subject to me. I love it. I love the transformation that happens in people's life. Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. That's the people of Jericho. When she received the spies with peace. Here's a woman who had a reputation. She's an innkeeper. She's a prostitute by biblical definition. And yet she received the spies from Israel. They were on their way into the promised land, and Jericho was the first stop. So they sent a couple spies in to just check out the city. And she takes them into her hotel. And she hides them on the roof when the city guards come and they're searching her place for them. She hides them. The Bible says here, she received them. Say, received them. Received. She received them in peace. She said, you don't look like us. You don't smell like us. You're different from us. You talk funny, but I receive you. I receive you. And the Bible says here, she perished not. Let me think of another example in the Old Testament of someone receiving somebody. Joseph. His brothers called him the dreamer. You remember Joseph?
Yes.
He was off-putting to his own family. What did Jesus say that we read in Mark 6? A prophet's not without honor except among his own, right? And Joseph starts telling his family his dreams. He's very off-putting. They decide to throw him in a pit. In fact, they really wanted to kill him, but they decide to sell him as a slave. You know, in principle, Joseph wound up saving his brothers. Mm-hmm. The very man that they could not receive from became their breadbasket later when the whole world was in a drought, in a famine. Be careful who you reject. They may be your very substance in the future. And I'm talking spiritual food, even in the natural. Did you know that prior to World War II, there were several voices God raised up among the Jewish community throughout the world, and they were crying out. This is around the mid-1930s, and they would say, it's time for the Jews to go back home. Go back to your homeland. We'll form a nation. We'll create Israel, the state of Israel again. And the Jewish people ignored them by the droves, and thus the Holocaust. There were some who heeded the call, and they went back to their land. They were spared. Listen, it's very important who we listen to. It's very important that you open your heart and receive and look past the earthen vessel so you can receive the treasure from within. It may save your life. Are you with me? Amen. When you ignore or when you get hung up on the earthen vessel, you'll miss the treasure within. Don't forget that. There's a treasure within each person that God's bringing across your path. I'm not talking about error. Don't receive error. I'm talking about when someone has truth within them. Amen? Years ago, I was in a real pickle. I was in a real dry spot spiritually. I mean, I was hurting. And I was crying out to God. And I'm not saying I formally prayed anything specific, but just in my heart, I was crying out. And I was given a video, a DVD of a preacher who I'd seen on TV before, but someone passed this DVD to my wife, and I just, you know, it sat around my house forever. And then finally one day I said, you know, I came home from work one day, I said, I'm taking that upstairs, I'm going to watch that video. I'm telling you, folks, it saved my life. And prior to that, I didn't like the way this preacher dressed. I didn't like the way he talked. I didn't like his hairdo. I didn't like anything about him. I would see him on TV and I'd just go click right on past. Why? Because I was hung up on the earthen vessel. And years later, when that movie, a DVD was passed to me, and that teaching exploded into my heart about the grace of God, I'm telling you, I ate a wall-sized piece of humble pie. But the grace of God was so rich, and it changed me. And it's still changing me today. I had to get past the outer. You and I got to learn to look past the outer to receive from folk. You'll miss a big treasure if you can't. I have learned to receive from a stump. I'm telling you, I can hear it from the least likely source. I can hear God. I can turn on the TV. It can be a radio. I'll be driving to work. It can be a preacher I don't listen to. It can be a denomination I don't agree with. I have learned to receive from anybody, because God can speak to us at any time through anybody. I want to tell you something. Beware of somebody you meet as a Christian in the Lord who says, I only got one favorite preacher. I only listen to him. Man, I follow him. You know, they got all his books. They listen to his message every week. They download his sermons every time he gets up to speak. Be careful of that. I'll tell you why. Because you'll get myopic. You know what myopic means? You got one eye just looking, just sees only one way. Jesus wants us nourished from all sides. Amen. He wants us nourished. You know, you look at the human diet. There's people that go on certain diets and they cut out certain meats or they cut out certain this or that, and their body actually suffers from it in the long run, because you never know, that little fisheye might have just the enzyme you need for your ear hearers to be just right, you know? I mean, just don't know what all the nutrients are in different foods. That's the way God designed our human body. Well, how much more in the spirit? You need to hear it from all sources. We got a couple of interesting guest speakers lined up in the next 2 months. We got Terry Mize. Coming next Sunday, we got Malcolm Smith coming at the end of September. Those two couldn't be from two further planets or universes in terms of personality or expression. But you'll see. I mean, there's different strokes, different folks, and God designed it that way. And it's how we are effectively nourished. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look, let's go back to our opening scripture. We're going to close with it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. You ought to this verse ought to be so worn out in your Bible. It ought to be underlined, circled, notes out to the sign, blow up bubbles, highlighter. You know, just this is so for all of us. Right? We started with verse 16. Let's look at verse 16 again. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Can you say amen?
Amen.
From August 22nd, 2021, going forward, I hope you will know no man after the flesh from now on. I hope you will look past the earthen vessel and receive the treasure. Paul said, even though we used to know Christ that way, can you imagine? They thought of Jesus as just human. And then he goes on in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New. This will help you in your Bible studies. Grab a good dictionary, or do the Merriam-Webster online. Thank you. And there's a really good hard. If you're like me, you like hard copy books. The Noah Webster 1828, I think it is. It's about that thick. It's like an old Strong's Concordance. The Noah Webster 1828 dictionary. Get you a hard copy. It's about $50, but it's a great investment because every definition almost in that whole dictionary is tied to a scripture. This was a godly man. He had a brain like Albert Einstein, and God gave him this wisdom back in the day. And he wrote, the Webster dictionary came from him originally. So Noah Webster, here's some definitions from both. New means this, different from the one of the same category which previously existed. I like that. I'm not Scott Anderson tied to a Swedish family from Northern Illinois. I'm a new creature. Amen. That was this old Scott that previously existed. Here's another definition of new, of dissimilar origin. Dissimilar. I'm dissimilar from who I was. I like that. I don't want to be who I was. Do you, Ben? All right, good. Here's another definition of new, other than former. So you haven't seen a friend in 20 years. You go back to one of your high school reunions. You shake their hand. You say, hello, I'm other than former. I like that. Of superior quality. That's a good one. Hey, man, I don't want to be my inferior self. Don't go back to my teenage years. Praise the Lord. Fresh. Fresh. That's that picture of Jesus coming up out of the grave. An old dead body being resurrected. That's you and I. We're fresh. We're filled with new life. Every day you ought to say that. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, I too can walk in newness of life. That's Romans 6:4. That's a good one to memorize. That's a good one to confess over your life every day. Through the glory of the Father. Amen. I'm fresh. Appearing for the first time. That'll mess your friend's brain around too. How you doing? Oh, I'm great. I'm appearing for the first time. That's me. I'm a new creature. Here's another one, never before known. Now, this is hard with your family, your friends, your spouse, because they know you. They got you pegged. He does this all the time. This is his quirk. This is her habits. This is her weakness. Never before known. Praise the Lord. I'm believing every day I'm never before known. Terry's waking up each day for the first time with a man she's never known. That may not have sounded right, but that's who I am. I want to wake you up with a reality check here as we close on a more serious note. There are traits in you and I and other people that we'll meet in life that will never change this side of eternity. Did you know that? Have you come to accept that about people? Maybe your parents, your uncles, your friends, somebody you've known for years and years, you go, they just aren't going to change in that area. They are always going to be that way. Now, I'm not saying we should hold them to it, but the reality is humans have a will. And God will not even override that will. Did you know that? Oh, he'll plead with them their whole life. Come on, come on. He's lovingly trying to nourish us toward the best we can be in Christ Jesus. But there's some, not some, all of us, wake up, all of us, have a trait here or there that we will probably hold on to until we just let go of this life. That's the reality. So come to expect it in people. Don't hold it against them. Cut them some slack. Read about these men, Paul, Peter, who had to eat crow. Why? Because they held people to a standard that was too high. Are you with me? Each of them had to learn, hey, got to cut people some slack. People can change. They may not change here before my eyes. And here's another reality. The people you knew years ago that you've left, relationships that you've walked away from or God has separated from you from, you've moved on. Guess what? God stayed with that person. Maybe they weren't right for your situation. Maybe they weren't right for you to be with. Maybe you've grown in the Lord and you've just gone on in the Spirit. But I want to tell you something. God never left them. He loves them. He's committed to them to the death, just like he's committed to you and I to the death. And he will walk with them in mercy and goodness. His goodness and mercy will follow them all the days of their life, just like it's following you. He's just as committed in love. Don't forget that. Don't ever forget that. And be careful. Be very, very careful. When you talk about another minister, you talk about someone in the church, someone you went to church with years ago, do not slander people. I don't care how bad they were, how wicked they were. God will take care of them. Amen? And God's lovingly, patiently working with them to try to get them to change, just like he's doing the same with you. Be patient with them. Amen? Stand together with me. Let's pray. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you have come to give us the hope of newness of life, Jesus, to bump our record, to get us out of our ruts. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to live with the limitations that our family line has known. Addictions, bondages, restraints, quirks that are unholy, quirks that are unproductive, Lord, those things can drop off as we look into your face, Jesus, as we behold you and we are transformed, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your transforming power at work in us who believe. Thank you, Jesus. We can be fresh. We can be new. We can be never before known in you. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you say, Scott, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've never been born again. I've not become a child of God yet, but I want to ask Jesus into my life. I want to make him the Lord of my life. If that's you for the first time, I want to see your hand this morning. I won't embarrass you, but I want to pray a prayer out loud. We'll pray it all together as a group in a moment that will invite Jesus to come into your life, to be Lord of your life, and to save you from your sins. Anybody at all, if you need that from Jesus today, would you just raise your hand real quick? Or if you say, Scott, I've been away, I've been out of fellowship with Jesus, but I want to come home today. I want to return to him today and give him my whole heart. If that's you as well, raise your hand and we're going to pray together in just a moment. Anybody at all? Praise the Lord. Let's pray this prayer together in case there's anyone here that is in that circumstance and wants to do that. Say, Dear God, I recognize that I am a sinner, that I have sinned, and sin has separated me from you. But you sent Jesus to die in my place, to bear my punishment, to take my justice. Thank you, Father, for his shed blood that washes away my sins. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making me your child. As I put my trust in Jesus today, I'm coming home to you. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, we're growing, and we've got a great journey ahead of us. Amen. What we shared with you today is just a nugget principle that we all have to walk in all of our lives. You want to receive the most from God, you got to learn to look past his earthen vessels because they're everywhere. And sometimes I believe God intentionally hides the greatest treasure within those that we have to humble ourselves to receive from. Are you with me? There's some great examples of that. If you read the Old Testament, how many of you remember Naaman the leper? He was the right-hand man of a foreign king. And he came into the country of Israel because he heard there was a prophet there who could bring him healing. And Elijah says, he just kind of speaks through the window at this guy. Doesn't even invite him in the house. Just go down and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. And it ticks him off. We may share about that another time. Why? Because God will sometimes make you go through the door of humility to receive your greatest blessing. Amen? Don't miss it. Learn to receive from earthen vessels everywhere. They're everywhere. And God has great blessing for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. God bless you. I want to speak a blessing over you from Romans chapter 16 today. Just receive it. This is our blessing of the month, if you will. This is Romans chapter 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Amen? That's a promise from the Word. You can stand on it. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet today. Be blessed in the Lord and have a great week in Him. We'll see you next Sunday.